Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, chapter 5, text number 35.
Yad Atra Kriyate Karma. Yad Atra Kriyate Karma Bhagavat Paritoshanam. Bhagavat Paritoshanam Jnanam Yat Tad Adinam hi Jnanam yat tad Adinam hi Bhakti Yoga Samanvitam. Bhakti Yoga Samanvitam Yadatra Kriyate Karma Bhagavat Paritoshanam Jnanam Yattaradinam Hi Bhakti Yoga Samanvitam Yadatra Kriyate Karma Bhagavat Paritoshanam Jnanam Yattaradinam Hi Bhakti Yoga Samanvitam.
Yoga Samanvitam. Yoga Samanvitam. Dhyate Karma Paritoshanam Jnanam Yattaradinahi Bhakti Yoga Samanitam Nadatapi Kriyate Karma Paritoshanam Jnanadadinahi Bhakti Yoga Samanitam Nakyate Karma Bhagavat Paritoshanam Yadadadinahi Bhakti Yoga Samanvitam. Vaishnavis, Yadatra Kriyate Karma Bhagavat Paritoshanam Natatadavinahi Bhakti Yoga Samanvitam Yadatra Karma Yadatanisoshanam
Yat, whatever,
Atra. In this life or world. Kriyate. Does perform. Karma. Work. Bhagavat. Unto the personality of Godhead. Paritoshanam. Satisfaction of. Jnanam. Knowledge. Yat tat. What is so called? Arinam. Dependent. He. Certainly. Bhakti yoga. Devotional. Samanvitam. Dovetailed with Bhakti yoga. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Please repeat. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. Purport. The general and popular notion is that by discharging fruitive work in terms of the directions of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire transcendental knowledge for spiritual realization. Bhakti yoga is considered by some to be another form of karma. But factually, bhakti yoga is above both karma and jnana. Bhakti yoga is independent of jnana or karma. On the other hand, jnana and karma are dependent on bhakti yoga. This kriya yoga or karma yoga, as recommended by Sri Narada to Vyas, is specifically recommended because the principle is to satisfy the Lord. The Lord does not want his sons, the living beings, to suffer the threefold miseries of life. He desires that all of them come to him and live with him. But going back to Godhead means that one must purify himself from material infections. When work is performed, therefore, to satisfy the Lord, the performer becomes gradually purified from material affection. This purification means attainment of spiritual knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is dependent on karma or work done on behalf of the Lord. Other knowledge, being devoid of bhakti yoga or satisfaction of the Lord, cannot lead one back to the kingdom of God, which means that it cannot even offer salvation. As already explained in connection with the stanza, Naiskarmyam api achutabhava varjitam, the conclusion is that a devotee engaged in the unalloyed service of the Lord, specifically in hearing and chanting of his transcendental glories, becomes simultaneously spiritually enlightened by the divine grace, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksus Ulminitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagada Mayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Tubhyascha Kripasindubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Translation. Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called Bhakti Yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord. And what is called knowledge becomes a concomitant factor. So here we are having some very potent verses here. Actually, the last three verses are very powerful. And they explain to us, Srila Prabhupada's explaining, and we're learning from the Bhagavatam that's handed down to us. And we see from the previous classes think in text 32 when Nakama gave class, he was giving us making the point that we're actually in association with somebody that knows. You know, compared to foolish people with their tiny brains trying to manufacture solutions to our problems. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that we shouldn't think that Narada Muni's realization is childish, but it's very expert, very erudite, very scholarly. And then we heard from Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport the secret of spiritual success. You know, this is what we're learning here. So this is all about the analogy of the red-hot iron you associate with fire becomes fire. So similarly, if we actually, everything we're doing is put in the service of the Lord, then we actually become spiritualized. And then we heard from yesterday, Brajapati Prabhu, the Srila Prabhupada talks about, again, in this verse, it also mentions in his verse, the Kriya Yoga, about activities that we should dedicate to the Supreme Lord, not for our enjoyment, but for His. And it's very nice in that purport from yesterday, Prabhupada gives a summary, and it's nice, like at the end of purport, sometimes Prabhupada said, okay, this is the point, the summary is. So in yesterday's purport, he talks about the summary. First of all, is what? To seek the association of pure devotees. And this is the whole point that Narada Muni is bringing to life here. He's telling Srila Vyasadeva that we should do everything for the Lord, you know, not specifically get engaged in karmakanda activities. And my own life, as an example, I could show you how I associated with these devotees and I became Narada Muni. So Prabhupada describes that in the purport there. So today's verse, Prabhupada mentions the... So we're going to talk about... Prabhupada actually gave a lecture on this particular verse. We'll touch upon some of those points. And we'll talk about the mission of the Lord, which is mentioned here. And we're going to talk about the Hare Krishna movement and the importance of it. So, first of all, we mentioned these three verses. And then I'd like to go to the mission of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada says right in the beginning of his preface to the Bhagavad Gita, and he brings up this point. He says here, if I personally have any credit in this matter, it is only that I've tried to present Bhagavad Gita as it is without any adulteration. Before my presentation of the Bhagavad Gita, almost in all English editions of Bhagavad Gita were introduced to fulfill someone's personal ambition. But our attempt in presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is to present the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita, not for your... It's amazing, people presented Bhagavad Gita for their own mission, but actually we should do it for the Krishna's mission. So Prabhupada continues, our business is to present the will of Krishna, not that of any mundane speculator like the politician, philosopher, or scientist, for they have very little knowledge of Krishna, despite all their other knowledge. And then Prabhupada mentions elsewhere in that preface how our only purpose is to present Bhagavad Gita as it is in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna descends to this planet once in the day of Brahma or every 8,600,000,000,000 years. This purpose is stated in Bhagavad Gita and we have to accept it as it is. Otherwise, there is no point in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita and its speaker, Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada again brings that point. To interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is the greatest offense. In order to save oneself from this offense, one has to understand the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he was directly understood by Arjuna. Arjuna was his first disciple, and he realized that Prabhupada says here, such understanding of Bhagavad Gita is really profitable and authorized for the welfare of human society in fulfilling the mission of life. So Krishna's mission is actually our mission. It's the mission of life. So Prabhupada again brings this point to our movement. The Krishna consciousness movement is essential in human society, for it offers the highest perfection of life, and how this is so explained fully in the Bhagavad Gita. And then Prabhupada ends here. Everyone should know that a living entity is eternally a servant, and unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of the three modes of material nature, and thus wandering perpetually in the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated mind body speculator has to undergo this process. This knowledge constitutes a great science, and each and every living being has to hear it for his own interest. So this is for everybody, everyone. And it's interesting, so Prabhupada is similarly saying what's in our purport today in this particular section of the Bhagavatam, that we should not serve illusion, but we should serve Krishna. Because if you serve illusion, you get affected by the three modes of material nature. So last paragraph here. By the spell of illusion, one tries to be happy by serving his personal sense gratification in different forms, which will never make him happy. Instead of satisfying his own personal material senses, he has to satisfy the senses of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. The Lord wants this, and he demands it. One has to understand the central point of Bhagavad Gita. Our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the whole world the central point, and because we're not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is, everyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying the Bhagavad Gita must take help from the Krishna consciousness movement for practical understanding of Bhagavad Gita under the direct guidance of the Lord. So just seeing just a few paragraphs in the preface of the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada is explaining what our mission is, the whole purpose of human society, what our purpose is, everything about what our movement is. One has to understand the central point of Bhagavad Gita, and that's our Krishna consciousness movement. We have to teach the world this central point. So this goes on. Also, I forgot to mention that I found this really nice article in the Back to Godhead magazine. And it was an article that was basically written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami. They weren't sure exactly, but Bhaktisiddhanta was the editor, so it was either written by his father, Bhaktivinoda, or it was written by him. And I'll be coming to some points in there which are very nice. And it really ties in with the class here today. So let's go back to the purport. So here, in the purport, Prabhupada says, it's a general popular notion that by discharging fruitive work in the terms of the scriptures, one becomes perfectly able to acquire transcendental knowledge for spiritualization. But there's another section here in the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, second chapter, text number 7, there's that real nice verse, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janati Asu Varagyam Gyanam Cha Yad Ahutikam. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport there that this bhakti cult is very easy for those who are just beginners, and it's also sublime for those who are actually serious devotees. And then he mentions here that the principles of knowledge and detachment are two important factors on the path of transcendental realization. The whole spiritual process leads to perfect knowledge of everything material and spiritual. And the results of such perfect knowledge are that one becomes detached from material affection and becomes attached to the spiritual activities. So this is our process. This is, Prabhupada mentions that this bhakti is the supermost occupation of the living being. So Prabhupada mentions here how important that bhakti is not just some other kind of karma. It actually, that karma depends on bhakti. And what is this bhakti yoga? It's described here as independent of jnana or karma. And there's a nice verse that actually defines bhakti. And this is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 19.167. But it's actually from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu silanam bhaktir uttama. When first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires. Knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruitive action, the devotee must certainly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So Krishna's desire is Krishna's mission, which is the mission of his pure devotee. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport to that particular verse He quotes, as Prabhupada mentions at the end of this purport, that is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, the conclusion is that a devotee engaged in the unalloyed service of the Lord, specifically in hearing and chanting of his transcendental glories, becomes simultaneously spiritually enlightened by the divine grace. And he said this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. So in this purport, Prabhupada brings up those points from the Bhagavad Gita in verses 934 and 1865. And he says, the Supreme Personality of God, he wants everyone to think of him always, man mana bhava mad bhakta. Everyone should become his devotee, not the devotee of the demigods. Everyone should engage in his devotional service, and that includes archana, deity worship. And this is the whole process, is that we want to engage the body in Krishna consciousness. And that's the mission of the Lord, is to do that. So in devotional service to the Lord, the prescribed activities that we do with the body is called archana, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. So this is all described in the Bhagavad Gita. And then in this purport, Prabhupada brings up the point again in 1869, how Krishna is pleased if one just spreads this mission, the mission of the Lord. He's very pleased with you, to the fact that, you know, Krishna will actually come and shake your hand, like Lord Brahma. He's actually one of the representatives of Krishna. He's empowered to create living entities, but he's also responsible for delivering them and bringing to them the mission of the Lord. And when he did that, Krishna came before him and shook his hand. So he was pleased. That's how you know Krishna is pleased. So it's nice. It reminds one time I was, when Jaya Pataka Maharaj was here visiting us, Guru Maharaj, and I guess they went on a walk or they did some kind of darshan or something, and then when they came back, I saw him and I apologized to him for I wasn't able to do this, go with you, but sorry, I missed your association, but I was giving class, Srimad Bhagavatam class, and he looked at me and he goes, oh, he put out his hand, shook my hand. So then, and there was pleased because of that. So this is the representatives of Krishna. We are pleasing them, and if we please them, then we automatically please Krishna. It goes back. So the mercy comes down from Krishna. It descends from Krishna, from Lord Brahma, you know, down all the way through disciplic succession, through our spiritual masters and teachers. And then we get the mercy of the Lord if we please them. And then that service that we give goes back up through this disciplic succession, and it pleases Krishna. So it's a two-way street. It comes down, you know, we get the knowledge, and then we serve Krishna, and then it comes down again, and we get the mercy. We get empowered by Krishna. So this is very nicely described. So back to the purport here. Prabhupada mentions here this concomitant factor. And in this particular sentence in the purport, it talks about the mission of the Lord. The Lord does not want his sons, the living beings, to suffer the threefold miseries of life. He desires that all of them come to him and live with him. But going back to God, it means that one must purify himself from material infections. So that's the purpose of the mission, is to teach people this. Because there's a nice reference in the second canto, chapter 2, text number 3. And Prabhupada uses this word concomitant a lot, and actually relates here, where he says that we are all living entities, and we're all bewildered with the concomitant reactions of the three modes of material nature. So these three modes of material nature are concomitant. These are the miseries that come of the living beings to suffer. So Prabhupada mentions that since the devotee of the Lord knows them perfectly well, he's not interested in creating unwanted things for a situation which is not at all reality, but simply names of no more significance than the babble of sea waves. And this is what this illusory energy is, Prabhupada mentions. This whole material creation is a jugglery of names only. He says it's made up of what? It's made up of matter, like earth, water, fire, buildings, furniture, cars, bungalows, mills, factories, industries, peace, war, even the highest thing, material science, he describes, and namely atomic energy or electronics. They're all simply bewildering names of material and elements with their concomitant reactions to the three modes of material nature. So this is concomitant. All these things, this illusory thing is attracting us. And what comes? Automatically you get miseries. And that's what it's talking about here in the purport. So this is very nicely described there. So here, it's also mentioned here, Prabhupada says that we must be trained and given a chance for better desires, right? Because if we're just desiring things in the material world which are temporary, then when death comes, then what is the use? So Prabhupada mentions in a purport here, this is from verse, second canto, first chapter, text number 15, describing how the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough to not be afraid of death, but cut off all your attachments. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that death is nothing but sleeping for a few months in order to develop another form of bodily encagement, that which we are awarded by the law of nature, according to our aspiration. Therefore, one has to only change the aspiration during the course of this present body. For this, there is need of training in the current duration of human life. So here goes training again, excuse me. So this training can begin at any stage of life or even a few seconds before death. But the usual procedure is for one to get training from very early life, from the stage of brahmacharya, and gradually progress to the ground, to all the stage, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, all the orders of life, and then making his life perfect, Prabhupada mentions. So Prabhupada ends the purport, and he says that we have to be given a chance for better desires, because actually the living entity, Prabhupada describes that desire is a concomitant factor of the living entity. You can't kill desire. The only thing you could do is change it. We're eternal, so therefore we should change our desires that are also eternal. So Prabhupada mentions at the end of that purport, the perfection of such service attitude is only attained simply by transferring the desire of service from matter to spirit, or from more descriptive, from Satan to God. So this is what we're trying to do. Get rid of this ignorance, this Satan, this ignorance. Prabhupada says, actually, in other words, Satan is ignorance. So this is what comes. When you perform devotional service, a concomitant factor is knowledge. And what is this knowledge? This knowledge is about who you are, who God is, and the process to get there. So this is the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. So there is a very nice, as I mentioned, there's a very nice article about how important the Krishna consciousness movement is. And we'll talk a little bit about here. This is so amazing. So he starts off the article and he says, the Hare Krishna movement says that harmony between itself and the whole world can be established by understanding one simple point. This is a powerful statement. And then within the article, I'm just going to read some parts that I just highlighted. So he says here, the Hare Krishna movement says that harmony between itself and the whole world can be established by understanding one simple point. And this is the point we're actually discussing today in class. That the duty of all living beings consists in the exclusive service of Adhokshaja, the transcendence. Most people of this world say that the duty of all living beings is the service of Akshaja, or matter. Even when this is not actually said, in practice it is this that is always done. The Hare Krishna movement says that sadhya, the object of our activities, should itself be the only sadhana, or means of attaining that object. In the opinion of most men of the world, sadhya and sadhana are different. The Hare Krishna movement says that so long as one continues to be under the influence of the physical and mental dharma functions, Words like unity and universal love are mere sounds, like such words as akasa kusum, a flower in the sky. So again, Prabhupada's mentioned bringing this point, how we heard about it, just like babbles of ways or just names only. So harmony is possible only when one has obtained a firm footing in the Dharma of the soul. So this is very powerful. So this article goes on and on and talking about the Hare Krishna movement. So we're trying to understand that one point. That's all we're meant to do. We can have harmony with everybody if we just understand this one point is to please Krishna. So he brings it more and more. He quotes from different places and stuff here. So he says, the Hare Krishna movement understands such service to be appropriate and eternal method. Why is it appropriate? And he says, because, he quotes that verse, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtano, Hridyanta Stohi Abhadrani, Vidunoti Suritsatam. That Krishna is a benefactor of all holy persons. Whoever listens to or sings about his messages is sanctified. Appearing in the hearts of all who listen to accounts about himself, meaning Krishna, he destroys the evil propensities in their heart to the very root. So he mentions how this root is that ignorance, that avidya. And that's the cause of our worldly sojourn of the living being. And then he says in the article, why is it eternal? Because Bejire Munayo Tagre Bhagavantam Adhokshajam. In the beginning, the munis or sages worship the Adhokshaja, the transcendental personality, guided in this way. So that's why it's eternal, because the munis, the authorities, the people in the know, they actually are giving us this information. So there's one section in here that talks about the remedy for all distress. Forgetful of their own home under the spell of the enchantress, most people of the world are running headlong into the opposite direction. In this, again, their intoxication, eagerness, concentration, and firm determination are so intense that they have little opportunity to think about home. But the voice of the Hare Krishna movement is ever proclaiming, Krishna Bala Sangechala E Mantra Bishachai. Chant Hare Krishna, come along. These are the only alms we beg. Back to Godhead, back to home is the message of the Hare Krishna movement. To arrest the pervertedly running tide and redirect it towards the eternal source is the seemingly unpleasant duty of the Hare Krishna movement. The Hare Krishna movement says, all men of the world, without exception, belong to our family. All birds and beasts, grass and shrubs are our kin. Whatsoever conscious being, whosoever existing, belongs to our Supreme Lord. We shall conduct our family members from out of the spell of the enchantress towards home. We shall not show for the time being sweet sympathy for them by enabling those who have fallen into the snares of the enchantress to get more deeply entangled. Even if under the spell of the enchantress they fill heaven and earth with their loud protestations against our endeavors, we shall still proclaim the message of the Amrita to them. So then, I'm just taking out some of the nectar from the nectar article, the nectarine parts. So here he talks about the power of the holy name. Once the world is fairly embarked on the high tide of the holy name, the insignificant worldly flood retires forthwith. So this is the holy name. This is the Prabhupada says it's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that we should always think of Krishna and how by chanting. So the alms of the shape of the songs glorifying Krishna become easily procurable. The little famines will leave us for good as a mere attendant result. So there's that concomitant factor. You get free from all the famines. With the appearance of sorrow, delusion, fear-killing bhakti, devotional service, avidya, nescience, the root of every form of misery of the living being, is destroyed, and the soul is well satisfied. Bhakti is like fire. Nothing else can purify gold the way fire can. Without bhakti yoga, the association of bhakti, other forms of effort are meaningless, like the attempt to refine gold by applying tamarind, earth, or ashes. So now he's saying, what is the only message? Lord Chaitanya, nor any of his devotees, was ever in a hurry to prevent flood or famine or to found hospitals. Nor did they give any other advice to anyone except telling all men at all times and places. Kali kale nama vina nahi ara dharma. In the Kali Yuga, there is no other dharma but uttering the name of Krishna. And then he quotes other verses. I won't say the Sanskrit, but this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. Whomever you meet, instruct him about Krishna. By my command, be a guru and save this land. See the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement? You have preached the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and in this way, freed all moving and non-moving living entities from material bondage. One born as a human being in the land of India, Bhartavarsha, of course, the whole world is Bhartavarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. So he says there's no other dharma than kirtan. And then he says here that... and I'll go on here. So he says, we will not listen to you. There's a title here. The Hare Krishna movement is a missionary of this all-time kirtan. The movement asks not that all efforts of the world be destroyed, but that they be deflected in their course. So here it is. The Hare Krishna movement begs every one of us to offer his all to Krishna. The opulence of the Hare Krishna movement is for the sole purpose of making efforts of the world Krishna para, having Krishna as their goal. The offering to Krishna comes first, and after the offering has been made, bhakti begins. So see, you work, you offer to Krishna, then bhakti comes. The Hare Krishna movement says, make the offering to Krishna first, and after that has been done, profess to be a bhakta, a devotee. The Hare Krishna movement says, do not imitate the kirtan, the kirtan kari, or one who does kirtan. It is those who follow the kirtan kari that are really their own benefactors or properly alive to self-interest. They're also benefactors of others and mindful of others' interests. They're not blinded by considerations of undue personal advantages, or do they cheat others? They are therefore truly disinterested. It is by kirtan alone that the claims of self-interest, the interests of others, and disinterestedness, if he makes simple words even complicated, are simultaneously satisfied. So your interests, whatever they are, your disinterests, they'll become satisfied, Krishna. And he says that by millions of times greater, eternal good is produced, by which the lotus of the eternal well-being of the living entity blossoms forth. That Sri Nam, holy name of the Hare Krishna movement, endeavors to give away freely. The members of the Hare Krishna movement are earnestly trying to give away freely Krishna himself. Isn't that amazing? So the idea that actually the pleasurable experience of the moment is the good. Sanatana Goswami asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kayami, Kena Amaya Jari Tapatraya. And he goes on, who am I and why do the threefold miseries affect me? I do not know this. How for me can there be good? So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expounded the Sanatana Dharma. And he said the eternal occupation for every living being is that if the message that he delivers to us regarding the only means of obtaining the good had once reached our ears, we would have considered bhakti denoted by kirtan weak and other methods strong. We would have not turned our face away from the direction in which the treasure would be easily found and have hurried towards the south for the bite of wasps, towards the west for the terrors of the yaksha, the demon that guards worldly riches, or towards the north to offer our lives to the fangs of the black snake. That's an analogy where there's a treasure buried on the eastern side. So this goes on and on. And in this particular article, actually, he quotes the three verses that I mentioned in the beginning of class. Actually, he quotes one more from another part of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, which relates here, it says here, anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to the religious life, anyone whose religious rituals, performances do not raise him to the renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered dead, although his breathing. So that's so important. Then he quotes the previous three verses that I mentioned earlier. And then he gives a nice summary in his own words of these three verses. The work not done for the sake of Dharma, the Dharma not performed for the purpose of Vairagya, renunciation, the Vairagya not practiced for the service of Vishnu, whosoever practices such work, Dharma or Vairagya, is dead in life. Conditioned fruitive work, nimatic karma, karmas, are the cause of the bondage of the world, samsara bandhana, or birth journeys, yoni brahmana. But those very works, if done for Godhead, have the power to destroy ungodliness. The divine knowledge, Bhagavad Gyana, associated with devotional service, bhakti, denoted by hearing, chanting, and so on, is assuredly the unswerving fruit of work performed in this world to please God. So here, this is the whole propagation of the Hare Krishna movement. So then he ends the article and says, he quotes this verse. The Hare Krishna movement says, He sadava sakalam eva vihaya duryat chaitanya chandra charana karutana rugam. O righteous people, bid goodbye to everything from a distance and offer the devotion of your hearts to the feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai. So there's so much more to say, but I'll end here. If there's any comments or questions, realizations. Yes, Prajapati Prabhu. Thank you.
Who is speaking that? Is that Srila Prabhupada? Or?
No, I mentioned that it was an article that I found in the Back to God magazine.
Back to God.
That was either written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta. But definitely it was edited by Bhaktisiddhanta because he was the editor at that time.
Thank you.
Of that article. Thank you. Yeah. It's in Back to God magazine. Yes, Prabhu? Oh, he had the mic.
Thank you very much. It was amazing class. I don't think I get it all, but just a beginner. So
thank
I have
you.
A question.
That was just a fraction of what I researched. I don't even get it all, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it was very deep. Thank you very much. So I have a question about karma yoga, how karma yoga is dependent on bhakti yoga. I'm sure you mentioned it in the lecture, but I wanted to kind of summarize it.
Yeah, karma yoga is activity. Karma yoga is actually activity done for Krishna. But if it's just regularly like work for yourself, for your own sense gratification, then it's binding. But if you do that same work for Krishna, you offer the results to Krishna, not attached to the fruits, then it becomes karma yoga. And by that's called devotional service. So this devotional service, karma yoga depends on devotional service. So then when you perform that activity, then you get knowledge, transcendental knowledge. And then from that knowledge, then you properly know what to do, act, and you become enlightened.
So I was thinking more of like if karma yoga is done without the love, then it's not bhakti yoga. I mean,
yes.
It's not devotional service.
Exactly.
And it's like sometimes you just fake it until you make it.
Right.
You know, so yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, he mentions that in the article. He talks about that point. How it has to be done with love, not just that, you know, you put on the dress of a devotee, you wear tilak and mala, and you have beads, and then you go around, like if you were an actor in a play, like, you know, we do plays and you dress up like Narada Muni, so you're acting like Narada Muni, you're just, you know, it's just acting, but it's not from the heart, you're not really doing it, you know, properly, so yeah. Yes, there's okay, Archita first, I guess.
In order to become bhakti, it has to be connected to Krishna through a devotee.
In other words, it's not something you can do on your own speculatively.
Yeah.
For instance, every day practically around the world, there's somebody making flower garlands. Most of the time, they're selling for their own aggrandizement. But if you make a flower garland under the direction of Krishna's devotee and give it to Krishna, then it becomes bhakti. It's accepted as bhakti. Just like in our case, we were all running around in the early days, for instance, like the devotees, some of them had jobs. There was no connection to Krishna. But when Prabhupada said, keep on working, give me the money to use to spread Krishna consciousness, then now it becomes bhakti.
Yeah.
They were doing the same job with the same mentality they had previously, but because they were giving that money to Prabhupada to do something on behalf of Krishna, then it becomes bhakti.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that point. Actually, in Prabhupada's lecture on this verse, he mentions that. And I was going to mention that, but it's time is short. But he said, the test for satisfying Krishna, and he mentions what you're saying, Archita. He says, you may say, I do not see the Supreme Personality guided face to face. How will I be able to know whether I'm satisfying him or dissatisfying him? And he says, that you can know through your spiritual master. It is not very difficult. If your spiritual master is satisfied, then you should know that Krishna is satisfied. You cannot satisfy Krishna by dissatisfying your spiritual master. That is not possible. You must satisfy him. Do not use the excuse that you do not know God or do not see him, and thus you cannot know whether you have satisfied him or dissatisfied him. So it's so powerful, he says there. Yeah, so this Parambara system, that's where I got that point where you offer up to the Parambara system and mercy comes down. So it's through that process. Yes, Mother, you had a question? Speak in the mic so people on the internet can hear you. They can hear the questions.
Regarding the bhakti and the karma yoga, when you say that when you do karma yoga and you approach it like bhakti for Krishna, during that time, is it just to think about it or actually chant while you're doing it?
Chanting while you're doing it is important, thinking of Krishna. But yeah, you offer the results of that work. Like, I'm doing this for Krishna, okay? I have a job. I'm going to work today for Krishna. And whatever I earn today, I'm going to give to Prabhupada's movement. Or at least 50% to Prabhupada's movement, as they say, or whatever you can.
In your consciousness.
Yeah.
Subconsciousness.
You're thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna. Not, hey, I'm going to work today. I'm going to get some money. And I'm going to buy the latest gadget for me. Or I'm going to get some goodies just for my sense gratification. I love this ice cream. It's for me. But I want to offer to Krishna. No, that's the difference. Yeah, so you come with that mentality. I'm going to work for Krishna. This is for Krishna.
So everything you do, you could do as a karma yoga.
And yeah.
Karma yoga you could do for bhakti.
That's the whole purpose. 24 hours a day. It says in this article by Bhaktisiddhanta Swami that 24 hours a day, you should do that. Offer everything to Krishna. Even sleeping. Yeah, you're doing it for Krishna. And then eventually serving Krishna during the day, then you'll be dreaming about Krishna. So yeah, you can spiritualize everything. Everything is actually for Krishna. But the separation comes and the ignorance comes when we want to do it for Satan. This is ignorance. We want to do it for something evil that's for our own self. This is evil. This is sin. Separation from God. Yeah. Was there another question? Comment? Okay. Thank you for your kind attention. All goes to Srimad Bhagavatam. All goes to Prabhupada.